Hello everyone, my name is Kevin Hamilton. I'm a professor in the School of Art and Design at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, where I also serve as Dean of the College of Fine and Applied Arts. Like so many across the nation and the world, we're working in isolation right now in our college, unable to share stages together, galleries together, studios together. And it's at this time in particular that I've been curious to hear what works of art, media, literature, or performance have been carrying my colleagues through this challenging time. And so I've been checking in with folks, giving them a call, and asking them to share ahead of time with me some example that I can spend some time with and hear what it means to them. This week I'm talking to Professor Lisa Gay Dixon, producer of our Illinois Theater and chair of the acting program in the Department of Theater. A member of our faculty for over 20 years, Lisa has taught, directed, and acted for countless productions here at home and graced stages around the world. Recent recognitions for her work include residencies with New York's Worcester Group and at Goldsmiths College in London. With experience performing a range of works from Shakespeare to Shanghai, as well as a lively career as author and performer of one-woman shows, Lisa regularly brings our students to both the power of the word and the full inhabitation of their true selves on stage. Her performance of The Ghost of Christmas Past for the Goodman Theater's production of A Christmas Carol delighted audiences for 3 consecutive years, and her conjuring of August Wilson's character of Aunt Esther in last year's Illinois Theater production of Gem of the Ocean moved us deeply here at home. When I asked Lisa for some examples of what works have been carrying her and giving her life at this time, she shared 2 with me: the poem When Death Comes by Mary Oliver, and a song by singer-songwriter Willie Wright called Nantucket Island. You can find these examples on our website at go.illinois.edu/FAA away. Let's give Lisa a call and hear a bit about what these works have meant to her through this time.
Hello.
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I am fine. Busy, of course, but fine.
I thank you for taking time for me and what looks like a busy day for you.
Yeah, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays are lots of meetings and whatnot, but you know, that's fine.
So, Lisa, when I asked you for an example of something that's really been giving you life and comfort lately through this time, was that hard to think of it, what that would be?
Actually, no. Both the poem, oddly enough, which didn't sound like it's not a joyous poem, but the poem and the song both came to me right away because I had been listening to the album, you know, and when you have a little bit more time on your hands, or at least when you're in one space so much, you start thinking of things that can sort of move you and motivate you. And so these 2 things came to mind right away for me.
So tell me about this Willie Wright song, and about Willie Wright, because he's new to me.
Yes. Well, interestingly enough, he's a little bit new to me as of about 4 or 5 years ago. A very good friend of mine who has a birthday dinner for me every year gives me CDs. He's a jazz aficionado. He has a radio show on WEF, and he gives me CDs, and this is one of the CDs he gave me. And I listened to this CD, and immediately it put me in mind of my childhood.
So this was both new to you and not in some way?
I had not heard of him, Willie Wright, before then, but it was one of those songs where you felt like, oh, I know this song. Even though you don't know this song, even though you've not heard it before, you felt like you've heard it before. And that's how I felt the first time I listened to the song specifically and to the album. More generally, I just felt like I already knew it.
And with the song, is it the lyrics as well as the music, or where does it take you?
Yeah, it the lyrics for me are secondary to the feeling that the song gives, but the lyrics do make sense. I mean, I absolutely spent my childhood in the Midwest, so I didn't have any East Coast summers. But I do know that there, were African American communities on Martha's Vineyard and other places, and this sounded like an homage to that.
Oh, that's interesting. So this song has something about memory for you, but not about places to which you've actually been.
Yeah.
This song about an East Coast island is not taking you to your time spent at an East Coast island or it by even by a particular waters.
I didn't spend much time around water or anything, but the song is very evocative to me. There's a particular kind of guitar that it is, a very mid-70s guitar sound that evoked images for me right away of when I was a young kid in my house and sort of listening to my mom's actual vinyl records on the record player, and how my mom would play, if I liked a song, she would play it over and over for me while I lay in the living room floor or rolled around or did something. And so it evoked that. It evoked memories of my childhood was a little bohemian in that my mother had a lot of friends here in Champaign-Urbana who were social workers and what might have been considered Midwest hippies at that time. And we had a lot of pig roasts and bonfires out in areas on farmland. And as kids, of course, we ran around and played, and it was magnificent. And there was lots of singing and playing guitars by the bonfires. And I remember those, I think even at the time, I recognized how sort of special and maybe a little blessed those events were with, a sort of racial diversity and orientation diversity that was not so in the rest of our community. And so that song evoked those childhood times for me.
And there's something about the song that, I mean, I love hearing about your own memory and how this song takes you to your own past in a time that gives you comfort at this moment in
Yes.
particular. But the song has something where singing about being on Nantucket Island, which is this one geography, and islands often take almost any of us, right, to a good place. We think about being
Yeah,
away from
that's
things.
true.
But
Yeah.
the music takes me to other islands, right? The music got a little bit of the Caribbean in
It
there.
really does. Yeah. And I remember it's so funny because I read liner notes about it a few days before I got the call from you about this. And this singer himself did not, the writer himself did not travel to those areas, but still had, an evocative feel for that. So, which also makes it wistful and a bit. What would have been kind of a feeling, or what could have been kind of a feeling, looking outward from where you are, which at this point is very much of a, looking
Yes.
outward from where we are is very much of a thing. And so, yeah, it actually, as a child, I thought deeply about a lot of things. I was an odd duck, as my mother would lovingly tell me. And I think because of that, it evokes inner imagination. It evokes both a joy and a wistfulness and a melancholy at the same time. Yeah.
I think that's good. I mean, I love how you're even calling to mind how that melancholy, where it comes from a place of internal strength and rest that you can go inside, is all can also be a solace, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And maybe that's a good way to take us to Mary Oliver, right? Which is this Mary Oliver poem you shared. What's interesting about it to me is that it's actually just a short geographic jump, right? Because this is a poet I associate with Provincetown.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's where she's from.
And her poems, which have been a great solace to me in this time too, which was one reason why I was so happy to receive one from you, often make me think of the sea. And so this poem, When Death Comes by Mary Oliver, seems to also take you to an internal place, doesn't it? Or where does it take you? Why did this poem come to mind? What is it doing for you lately?
Yeah, a few years ago when my mom passed away, but even as I was caretaking for her for many years, it made me think about how my caretaking of my mother and my being a teacher in theater and my being an artist, all of those things coalesce into this idea of legacy isn't the word I want to use because that feels a little sort of corporate, but it's this idea of who are you and what is the energy that you leave behind and how do you affect the space you're in while you're living and after you've gone. And I think this connects me, the song is connected very much for me to this kind of thinking I was having even as a child that I might not have known I was having, but there, you know, something was going on inside my tiny little brain at the time. And so this idea of being a part of the world in a larger way and having a rich inner life and inner conversation and making choices inwardly that then have a reflection out in the world. And this poem makes me think about that. This poem makes me think about what is it that I leave for the students and friends and family that I have hopefully touched positively? What is the energy and the thought and idea that I leave behind? What is it that I can go into, go beyond that veil, knowing I may or may not have accomplished or have at least attempted to accomplish?
That's so interesting, Lisa, because now we've moved from talking about where the Willie Wright song sends you into the past and memory to where this Mary Oliver poem is taking you into thinking about the future.
Yeah. And that's very important to me to know that when I'm no longer in this particular plane, I don't necessarily have a belief in a plane beyond, but I do have a belief in the possibility of my existence having an effect, however small or significant, on those still here. And so that's a hope for me that the choices I've made in my life and the manner in which I lead my life could maybe leave that behind. You know, for instance, the phrase, when it's over, I want to say all my life I was a bride married to amazement is exactly how I would like to live my life. And it's exactly how I would hope that my students go forth and live theirs.
Yeah, and there's a beautiful way in which there's a conjuring in this poem of both the other people we touch, as you're talking about, and the role of the physical world around us in that work, right? Because she's naming flowers and icebergs and things that are actually around us.
Yes. The cottage of darkness and yes. Yeah.
I think of your vision you conjure for us from your childhood of being around a fire and, you know, watching what fire does and hearing people around you, and the world is somehow informing your own building of that inner life.
Yes, absolutely. And in building and nurturing that inner life, one can make choices about how to share it outwardly. You know, we don't have control over a lot of things in our life, but we do have control over what we share about ourselves and how we move forward and interact, how we decide we want to engage with others, or not just with other humans, but with the natural world, with the, you know, how do we want to engage with the space and the energy around us? And so this is a poem I had actually told my friends that I want read at my funeral, in which I'm hopefully going to be planted and nurturing a tree, because that's what I hope to do, because I love trees as well. And so, like I said, those things all sort of coalesce to me, and they make sense. I grok them, to use that Scandinavian term, in a way that I can't fully articulate with words, but it all seems connected to me in a way that leads to recognition of the particular steps on my journey as a teacher, as an artist, as just a human in the world.
What's that term, Lisa? The Scandinavian term?
Oh, grok, G-R-O-K. And that came from a book of poems that my mom's boyfriend gave to me when I was 9, a book of Scandinavian poems, which it should tell you what my odd migraine.
But what does it mean again? What does grok mean in this?
Grok means to to deeply understand something beyond the ability to speak about it.
I love the way in which the way you're talking about this position the poem puts you into really does conjure agency and activeness. Like when in the poem, when Oliver says, "I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering what is it going to be like, that cottage of darkness."
Yeah.
It's a surprising thing to read because many people might say, well, why would you be curious about death? And yet the power of that, of saying, I want to step full with curiosity in me, is a way of, it feels powerful, her position.
Yeah. Well, yes, it absolutely gives you an agency that otherwise in our Western conception of death takes that agency away, and it sort of makes you helpless. And this idea, not to make it a platitude, but the idea that you are moving into something indescribable and you know you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice but to go there at some point. So the choice that you have is in how you approach it and how you experience it.
Do you have a lot of this poem committed to memory? Or do you memorize poems in general? Is that an important thing to you?
I do when I have the time. I don't have, I have like different lines of this memorized. And I think it's the last, I don't want to end up simply having visited this world is my, the thing that sticks with me.
When I read that, I felt like I'd heard you say that before. Like you might have even.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It just reminded me of you, and it made me think, I wonder if she's quoted that line. It's a great last line for a poem. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world.
Yeah. No, I do, if I have, I'm unaware of it. I may have done it unconsciously.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, I wanted to thank you for sharing this bit with us. I wanted to just take a little time like this just to pause into both of our busy days and take some time to reflect on what's sustaining us. And I really thank you for your generosity in sharing this with us. It's really some beautiful pictures and sounds that I think you've left us and the listeners with. So,
oh, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Really, this has been great for me and a gift to me today already. So thank you.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad.
Have a good
Take
day.
Care.
All right. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
You've been listening to a conversation with Professor Lisa Gay Dixon in the Department of Theater at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. And my name is Kevin Hamilton, professor in the School of Art and Design and Dean of the College of Fine and Applied Arts here at the university. This is the second in a series of conversations I'm conducting with my colleagues here in the college about what's been keeping them going through this time, what works of art, media, literature, performance they're drawing strength from. Today, Lisa and I were discussing two examples she shared with us. A song by singer-songwriter Willie Wright called Nantucket Island, and a poem by Mary Oliver called When Death Comes. You can find these examples on our website, go.illinois.edu/FAAAway. We'll be posting these weekly. Stay tuned next for a conversation with Professor Jorge Lucero, Professor of Art Education in our School of Art and Design. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all you do. Stay safe and take care.